Okay, last week we talked about the rapture of the church. We're not going to talk about that anymore. However, I need to mention one thing concerning the rapture of the church, which is going to take place hopefully soon, but we don't know when it's going to take place. Could be another 100 years, another 1,000. I really don't have any idea, but I do know that that is the very next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. When he takes his church home, all at one time, there won't anybody be left behind. And then when he does, he is going to begin, he is going to usher in the 7-year tribulation, the judgment or the wrath of God. It's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. But you and I will not have to be here. We will not have to suffer the number 666, the mark of the beast. You don't have to worry about it. Not going to happen. You don't have to worry about all the judgments God's going to bring upon the earth. You won't be here. However, turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We need to cover a couple of things here before we continue in our messages on the signs of the times. And boy, are there a lot of them. If you can't see them, you must be blind. But there are so many things going on that makes me think that the Antichrist is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, I think he's... No, never mind. Right around the corner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will. The rapture is going to take place. The entire church is going to be up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, let's go to verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I don't know about you, but that's the way I feel, especially when I get up some mornings and when I go to bed some nights. Be absent from this old beat-up body. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Remember a couple of weeks ago we gave you 3 bulletins? Some of the bulletins were empty. Well, that represents a lot of Christians' lives. They're just plain empty. They don't do anything for the Lord, spend all their time worrying about what I can do for me, but never do anything for the Lord. And verse 10, every Christian, this represents you and me. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, this is you. Pay attention to this, if you will. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Only the Christian, the saved, born-again Christian, will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The lost will not. The lost will appear at the great white throne judgment, but not the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. By the way, this tells you one thing. If you're a saved Christian, there's a good chance you're going to do bad things. You're going to do good things, but you're going to do bad things. There's no such thing as a perfect Christian. You're going to fail, you're going to foul up, you're going to sin. But you know what? Just pick yourself up and keep plugging away, right? And then someday when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then you'll get rewarded for what you do. Whether it be good or bad, but you know what? The more good you do, the more good rewards you're going to get. Amen? I'm looking forward to that. I know I haven't done nearly enough, but just keep trying. Just keep plugging away. And in this present life, I hope I'm accepted of him. I don't know. He put me up here for some reason. I don't know why. But spared my life. I should have been dead many, many times. I don't know how many cars I've wrecked and every other thing that I've done. Fell out of trees and jumped off of this and did this. But still here, so must be doing something. But in the meantime, until this takes place, we're living in the signs of the times. And we're working up to the coming of the Antichrist. You ought to be able to see it on the horizon. I do. Let me tell you some things that old Satan, some organizations that he's got prepared that are preparing us for the coming Antichrist and the 7-year tribulation, the wrath of God. They are, one of them is communism. Communism is preparing for the way of God. Another one is the New World Order. Did you ever hear that? When the late George Bush Sr., not late, the late president, George Bush Sr. said we're trying to bring about a one world order. He couldn't believe how many people he offended. When he realized how many people he offended, he didn't realize there was that many people against the one world order, or the new world order, whichever one you want to call it. The New Age movement. which is God is in everybody. God is in you. One of the lies of Satan in Genesis chapter 3. He told Eve, you'll be as God. And how many people today think they're God? First time I walked into a Baptist college, everybody in there thought they were God. I couldn't believe it. They glowed like light bulbs. Unreal. The NEA, National Education Association. By the way, if you've got a family member in the National Education Association, don't get mad at me. But it's an ungodly organization designed to bring around the fall of your children. What do you think happened to Jeffrey Dahmer? What do you think happened to all those young people who walk into schools with guns and kill people? You know why? Evolution taught them to do that. There is no God, no accountability. Human life is useless. Evolution taught them that. How about the Bilderbergers? You ever hear that? Trilateral Commission? These are all organizations brought about by Satan to bring in his new world order, and he's, you know, Satan's busier than you and I will ever be. And then there's the Federal Reserve Board. You ever hear that? They're going to protect you, right? Well, first of all, it's not federal. It doesn't belong to the government. There is no reserve. The only money they have belongs to them. It doesn't belong to you. And if the economy in the United States of America fails and you got any money in the bank, that's tough. Federal Reserve Board's not going to do a darn thing for you. Mark it down. It's an ungodly, anti-American organization. How about Greenpeace? You ever hear that? Greenpeace. They're going to preserve the planet. And then, of course, there's the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, one of the most ungodly organizations in the world, brought about by Satan. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
They were in Iraq? The EPA? Yeah. What were they? Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, the Environmental Protection Agency, one of the groups that promotes global warming. Global warming is a lie. It's not true. It's a lie. One of the things that Al Gore is trying to promote. And Hollywood gave him an award for it. And Chrissy said it.
He wants you to buy that little gadget from his factory he's got.
I don't know. I don't know what he wants. Yeah.
How does he explain the weather that just took place?
He can't.
It's the new weather patterns that are going on from.
Oh yeah. Well. Yeah. He'll explain it. He will. Somehow he'll explain it away. It won't be scientific. You know, one thing he said was, I got to tell you this. He said there were 2,000 people in the United Nations, 2,000 scientists, that were for global warming. You know what? He was a liar. There were two. The other 1,998 or 990, whatever it comes to, were just ordinary people. They weren't scientists at all. Al Gore is the biggest liar, the biggest hypocrite, the biggest deceiver I've ever seen, and I hope he gets elected as president because this country deserves him. I'm serious. I hope he does. And all those people in Hollywood that wanted him voted in, that loved the little jerk all to pieces, you know what? You got it coming, buddy. And then, of course, there's the Animal Protective League. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next few weeks. American Civil Liberties Union. And all these are just the beginning. By the way, I've got literature in my library at home on every one of these organizations. I know what they're all about. But you know what? Do I worry about it? No. Should I know about it? Yes. I have a perfect right. Is it, what do you call it, a conspiracy? Yes. Should I worry about it? No. It will happen. God is going to bring it about. It will happen. In God's time, the Antichrist will be revealed. Satan will be behind it. And it's real. And if you can't see it today, you have to be absolutely nuts. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24, if you will. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, I get a kick out of this, by the way. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to set up his kingdom, he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. In the meantime, he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. You know, the Lord's awesome, isn't he? When he wrote his word, he knew exactly what he was doing. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, First warning, take heed that no man deceive you. You know something? If you're a saved, born-again Christian, take heed that nobody deceives you. You know how to do that? Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Read it. Study it. And he says, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Boy, is that happening. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What does this mean? Let me explain it to you. These first verses, verse 4, 5, 6, particularly verses 5 and 6, have to do with the first half of the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Notice what it says in the last part of verse 6. These things shall come to pass, but the end of what? The end of the 7-year tribulation is not yet. Then he says, look, notice if you will, verse 7. This is going to be what takes place at the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. The first 3.5 years are going to be terrible. There are going to be plagues. Listen to what he says. For nation shall rise against nation. You know, if you see wars and rumors of wars now, wait until the church is taken home and the Lord ushers in the 7-year tribulation, his wrath, his judgment. There's going to be war all over the planet. Wars upon wars. Kingdom against kingdom. Let me ask you something. Let me explain what that means, if I may. Kingdom against kingdom. You can see that today, can't you? I don't know if you can or not. You ought to be able to. Look at Mexico. Mexico's opened up the border into the United States of America, and they've actually told their people to come in. They've actually told them, go in to America, and you know what? The politicians in America have tied the hands of the people on our border so they can't do anything. What is all this bringing about? Well, it's bringing about a one world order. You know what's going to happen when we get all the Mexicans and all these other people illegally in the United States of America? There won't be any America anymore. Why? There won't be any citizenship. Half of the people in this country won't be citizens. It's going to be part of the one world community. Mark it down. It's taking place. That's what's going on today.
Yeah. If you notice, if you call somewhere for information or a company or something, they want to know, you know, press one for Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
hey, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because somebody gave me an article here this morning. I think it was Bob. Yeah. Hooray, Australia. I didn't read this whole thing, but just the first page. Listen to this. Muslims who want to live under Islamic Sharia law were told on Wednesday to get out of Australia.
Awesome.
Yeah. What's wrong with the United States of America?
They've been trying to make him apologize.
I hope he never does. I hope he sticks to it. Yeah. I hope he throws them people out. You know what? This is the United States of America built on God and the Bible, not the Muslim Quran. And I don't know if you've ever read the Quran, but it's not the same God of the Bible. The Quran is divinely inspired by Satan. I've read it. I know what it says. I've read it a couple of times. It contradicts the Bible. It's not the Word of God. It's demonically inspired. And I agree with them. Kick them dudes out of the United States of America, but it'll never happen. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. Give me the opportunity to read that. On down, if you will. Kingdom against kingdom. Now, let me explain something else to you, if I may. Why, why would there be kingdom against kingdom in the beginning of the 7-year tribulation? The reason is very simple. Mark this down. Remember this. When the Antichrist takes over the United States of America, he will have 10 kings under him. These 10 kings will rule the entire world. You know what? Look on your map one of these days and ask yourself, how many continents are there in the world? Yeah. You divide those continents up and you add a little bit more to them. Take, for instance, let me give you an example. Mexico, the United States of America, and Canada. I firmly believe that one of the kings under the Antichrist will rule this entire part of this world. One king. Then, of course, you've got Europe divided up into two different sections. Then, of course, you've got Africa, etc., etc., India. You've got all these continents and all these different places. The Antichrist will have 10 kings, and I'm sorry, Al Gore, you will not be one of them. Hillary, neither will you. I hate to tell you this, Hillary, you sweet little thing, you. You will not be one of them. You think you're something, Hillary, but when the Antichrist comes along, you'll be nothing. And by the way, let me point something out, that if the rapture took place today, I'm going to tell you two people that I know definitely are not going. Hillary and Al Gore. Gee, I hate to tell you this. Now, you may like them. You may have voted for them. You may think there's something else. I don't. Back to the Bible, if you will. That's enough of that. I'm surprised anybody stays in this church, huh? The way I talk, I don't know. And there shall be kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Let me ask you something. Why will there be famines and pestilence during the seven-year tribulation?
No order.
Punishment? Well, all those are good answers, but the basic answer is the Holy Spirit will be gone. The Holy Spirit. You know what works in the world today? The Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you have a right to roll around on the floor and speak in tongues. That's not how it works. But the Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ left this earth all the way back 2,000 years ago, He sent the Holy Spirit down. And the Holy Spirit is the restrainer. Now hold your place here. We're going to come back, but go over to 2 Thessalonians, if you will. Second Thessalonians. We're going to go back to Matthew here briefly, shortly. But go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Look in verse 1, if you will. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. What is that?
The rapture.
Very good. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of, your Bible may say, the day of Christ. That's a mistranslation. It should be the day of the Lord is at hand or present. Let me tell you what happened, then we'll go on. I've explained this to you before, but somebody had wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica, signed Paul's name to it, and told them they were in the tribulation period. Wrong. They were not. And so Paul wrote them this letter and said, don't be disturbed by a letter as from us. It's not true. Then he goes on to say, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first, which is the apostasia. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, but the Greek word apostasia, the falling away first, and that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed the son of perdition. What's he saying? He's saying, first of all, that day will not take place until the church is gone. That's what he's saying. We will be gathered together, and then will the man of sin be revealed. You and I will never know who the Antichrist is. I won't see him. We won't see him. We may know who he is, but we don't know who he is. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, he may be on the scene today. He may be an important politician. He may be, who'd you say? Did somebody say Al Gore? Possible. Anyhow. Well, there's a lot of them. They're all over the place. Yeah. Who opposeth, verse 4, and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the Antichrist. Remember ye not that, by the way, let me point something else out. The Antichrist, Satan, does not want you not to believe in God. He wants you to believe in God, but he wants you to believe he is God. That's the difference. Okay, remember ye not, Paul said, that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What is that withholdeth? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the withholder, the restrainer. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he... You might more mark this in your Bible, the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, will continue to let until He, the Holy Spirit, be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is the hinderer. He's the one who now lets. He's the one who holds back Satan and the Antichrist and the satanic organizations that are trying to control the world, bring about a new world order under an evolutionary concept. God did not create. There is no God. We evolved. Yeah, right. You evolved, all right. And then, in verse 8, and then, after the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked one be revealed. Isn't that easy to understand? Then shall that wicked one be revealed, after the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. Turn back to Matthew, if you will. Notice verse 8 once again. Notice that the famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Do you know something? The food will not grow if God isn't behind it. Do you know why the United States of America feeds half of the world? We feed half of the world, maybe more than that, because God has blessed this country. Why has He blessed this country? Because there are so many people able to preach, go to church, read and study the Bible, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed this country. One day He will not do that. I'm surprised He does it today. I really am. But He does. There will not be any food growth. One other thing, and then we're going to talk about this in the next few weeks, the next coming weeks, and that is this. Everything that man has done in the world today will come back to haunt him. Everything. Let me give you one example here, if I can find it over in Isaiah. I'll give you one example here. If I can find it. Oh, yeah. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, if you will. Listen to what God says about the nation of Israel and the world around it. Now remember, Israel, Jerusalem, is the center of all prophecy geographically. Listen to what God said. No weapon that is formed against thee, Israel, shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Don't ever speak anything bad against Israel. I think it's a mistake. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Notice that this is the heritage. Israel is the heritage of the servants, me, you, of the Lord. Listen, if it wasn't for Israel, there would be no Jesus Christ, no Bible, no church, no salvation, no nothing. Don't ever say anything against Israel. It's a mistake. Anybody that has formed a weapon against Israel shall not prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Now back to Matthew, if you will. Actually, let's go to Luke chapter 21. Just go over here to Luke chapter 21. Chapter 21 adds a little more to Matthew, but I was watching something the other day in a place called Tuello, I think it is. I don't know where it is. I think it's in New Mexico. There are tons and tons of nerve gas and mustard gas in storage that the United States developed and manufactured right after the First World War, leading up to the Second World War. Every country has developed these dead gases. If one-tenth of that gas was let loose, it would wipe out the population of the entire world. Let me ask you a question. Why did the United States manufacture this gas? It's stupid. And you know something over history? History has proved that every weapon of war that has ever been invented has been used. These gases right now, they can destroy probably, they said, 7 tons a day if they work hard at it.
Why? Where did you get this information from?
I saw this on the History Channel the other day.
You think it's credible? I mean,
is it... Oh, it's credible. It's absolutely credible.
That the gas is out there and believe it, or...
Actually, there you... Yeah, Ron,
I'll... I can answer that question.
Good.
For you.
Yeah.
Because I worked in Newport, Indiana, and I can tell you and I can show you drive by the tons and tons of ton containers that hold chemical agent VX. I worked there. I was crawled over top of it. I provided security plan. So they're still there.
I work with a guy that he's out there. He used to be a guard. We also have an island in the South Pacific. The whole island is nothing but stockpiles, mustard gas, nerve agents. Everything. He was a guard that was put 3 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard
gas.
The whole island, it's all stored and stockpiled. There's underground tunnels and everything.
The mustard gases are in the desert.
Yeah.
The agents like
we
the gas are just stored in.
It's real then, isn't it? It's real. Yeah, it's real. And there are millions, there's not just a couple of barrels of it, millions of tons, but it's contained in metal containers that are like a gas cylinder. They have to be that strong. The problem is they're starting to run.
And I'll tell you what, they tell you how to make it. You can take grade and start to run.
Don't stop.
Really? Yeah. Well, anyhow, that's amazing because they have to have in this one place in Tuello that they were talking about in particular, they had to create and develop machines to get rid of the gas. So this machine picks up the cylinder, takes it into an enclosed compartment, punctures the cylinder, and then the furnaces, which goes up to something like 2,500 degrees, burns it. That's the only way to get rid of it at that temperature. Otherwise, it'll dissipate into the air and kill millions of people. But they said that they get rid of, probably, if they work at it, 7 tons a day. There's millions of tons. What happens if one of those cylinders rusts through, which they are doing? It is a problem. It's a valid problem. What if they rust through? Now, I brought all this up for a reason. I brought all this up for a reason. Let's go here to Luke chapter 21, and then I'm going to show you something in Revelation. verse 8, once again the warning. Luke chapter 21, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Now remember, he's talking to the nation of Israel. He's telling, this is going to take place, he's saying, to the nation of Israel. Remember, the Gospels are not New Testament books. You say, yeah, they were part of the New Testament. I know that, but they are a record of Old Testament prophecy. They are not part of the church, but he said, listen to the nation of Israel, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end of the 7-year tribulation is not yet. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. We just read that, kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes shall be in various places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. It's going to be a fearful time, fearful sights and great signs. And before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons and so forth. And then he says on down here in verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to, your Bible may say, gainsay, which really means contradict or withstand. You know something? Nobody can withstand the Bible. Are you afraid to tell somebody how to be saved because you're afraid they're going to say something to you? Are you afraid to do that? You know what the Bible says? They cannot withstand you. They may not want to hear it. They might not accept it. But they cannot withstand you. Before you die, tell somebody how to be saved. That's the only hope this world has. You know, the lost person will never look at things the way God wants them to. Turn over to Revelation chapter 6, and then we'll just read a couple of verses here, and then we'll close. Go over, if you will, to verse 5, Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. Remember what we said about the Holy Spirit being removed? And Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, there shall be pestilence and famine in various places. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will be gone. Your gardens won't grow, ladies and gentlemen. You might have a can of peas in the basement somewhere, but once those are gone, what are you going to do? And whenever this takes place, there will be no food. Guess what? People will be killing each other. They will kill each other for a piece of meat, a loaf of bread. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time. Verse 5, Revelation chapter 6, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld and lo, a black horse, which represents death, by the way. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Everything's going to be weighed. Listen, you won't be able to buy anything for nothing. You've got to pay for it one way or the other. A set of balances. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. A measure of wheat for a penny. You want to bake a loaf of bread during the 7-year tribulation, it'll cost you a day's wage. That's basically what it's saying. A penny was a day's wage when this was written. You want to bake a loaf of bread, a measure of wheat? 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now we're going to look at some of this next week. I'm not going to go any further, but let me just say this. All of the bombs and all of the things that man has created, when they attacked Israel in Ezekiel chapter 38, they're going to use these things. And I'm going to tell you something. The chemical warfare and the chemical things that are stored are going to explode. They're going to be destroyed with bombs. And guess what? It's going to destroy. I want you to go down here to one verse, if you will. I'm going to read one verse to you. In verse 8, Revelation chapter 6. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, which represents death. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. People are going to be murdering each other after when the 7-year tribulation begins. They're going to be murdering each other for, look what they're doing today. You know why? There will not be any God. The Holy Spirit will be gone. Evolution will be the big thing. All these things are going with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. 1/4 part of the earth. Imagine that. I got a little note in my Bible that says that probably 15 years ago it was about 10 million people. I don't know how many it's going to be today, if it took place today. Remember when Hitler killed 6 million Jews plus Christians? It's going to be at least double that. 12 million people are going to be murdered, killed. They're going to kill each other. And part of the reason is man did it to himself. God says, you know what? You believe in global warming? I'll warm the earth for you, and he will. We're going to look at a little more of that next week. You believe in that crap? I'm going to warm it up for you. It'll get warm. So you believe I didn't create the heavens and the earth? You believe that you're polluting the earth? You believe I'm not in charge? Okay, I'll show you. You're having trouble breathing now. You just wait. And it's a terrible thing, all these people murdering people all over the world. And I was watching Bill O'Reilly. He said, I don't think the state has the right to put people to death. You idiot. You idiot. If you don't put these murderers and these rapists to death, what's the message you're going to send? Okay. Yeah, it's okay to kill. God said, do you really think it's okay to kill? You just wait till the 7-year tribulation. You'll be killing each other. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, you'll be killing each other. It's going to be a terrible thing. Mankind is bringing about his own destruction. And if you look at the world today, you ought to be able to see it taking place. So you really believe in evolution, huh? Jeffrey Dahmer did. Life didn't mean anything to him. He was no accountability. God said, well, if that's the way you want it, when I remove my Holy Spirit, there's going to be no accountability. You're going to kill each other. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time. And if you can't see it building up to it today, you have to be completely blind, don't you? Just look at the signs of the times. I don't know how God waits. I don't know how he puts up with some of the things. I don't know how he puts up with me. But he does. I think the reason is, he's God. It's a good thing I'm not God. It's a good thing some of the Baptists I knew weren't God, because if they were, nobody would go to heaven. Self-righteous bunch of idiots. Anyway, they weren't all bad. I'm not condemning everybody. Just about everybody. Anyway, guess what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. Didn't he die on the cross for you? This is how it works. God said, I'm a sinner. This hand represents me. This is my sin. Got to be paid for, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Or, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid for my sin 2,000 years ago. All I have to do is believe it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I've been looking at some tapes by a man by the name of Kent Hovind, and he goes to Romans chapter 10 and says, call on the Lord. Well, he's a smart man, smarter than I am, but I don't agree with that. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that simple? That's what God said. We're going to look next week at the lie of Satan. 2 Thessalonians said that they shall believe the lie. And the lie is found in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to take a look at that probably. Most people in the world today believe the lie. And we're going to take a look at that. In the meantime, are you going to heaven when you die? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sins are paid. Just like that. And then you're out of here when the tribulation comes. And what a glorious thing that's going to be. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll close. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ, salvation. His blood covered my sin. All I have to do to avoid the Antichrist, the seven-year tribulation, is put my faith in Christ. He's still the King, still God, still the boss. Sorry, Al Gore, you're not it. Jesus Christ is God. You're not. And what a wonderful thing it is. I thank God he's not. I thank God Christ is God. Just put your faith in him, and there's no loss of hope. What a wonderful thing. In Christ's name, amen.